Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. At first, our first half hour might sound like an historical believe it or not. Sure enough, one holiday season during World War I, both sides of the battlefield halted the battle and settled for short-term peace. All Is Calm depicts this event in musical fashion on PBS Friday night. Executive producer Laura Little joins me next. As Married at First Sight rolls out on Lifetime, producer Alicia Godmash is moving forward in several directions, including the release next month of her first speculative fiction novel, Retrograde. She's on with more later this hour. Also ahead, Xbox aims for smart TVs 2021, G4 rises, our classic trivia question, hail to the Duke and GE College Bowl, and what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and present on iHeartRadio and Amazon Music's respective podcast networks. This just in, it's the day before Thanksgiving. We are live, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later on the program. A very happy and wonderful pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday to you, and welcome once again to the program all about TV's current and future. It's the third and final of our three Thanksgiving week episodes. We've had a ball putting them together for you, and great response from all of you out there. We got another great hour and change for you with some terrific guests, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Make the call and give it our way. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You'll catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Got the chat room going for you as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. We'd be glad to have you in it. Remember, you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker Tune screen, follow the instructions of Disney Live with you. Laura Little is live with us from Idaho after these news notes. Microsoft has a new Xbox priority for 2021, get on smart TV sets in some fashion. In conversation with The Verge, that's a website that covers technology, Executive Vice President of Gaming Phil Spencer acknowledges that Xbox playable games will appear and be played through smart TVs by next holiday season. One avenue, an app version of their cloud gaming service, xCloud. Another, a plug-in dongle. However the method, I don't think anything is going to stop us from doing that, unquote, Spencer said. Remember G4, the Comcast-owned channel devoted to technology and video game topics? Cable Systems programmed the network from 2002 to 2014 when Comcast pulled the plug. Well, it looks like G4 will unplug and return next year as a smart TV product distributed effort. YouTube assigned a reunion of G4 personalities last night, including Olivia Munn, Kevin Pereira, and Christian Adams. The special, which will replay midnight Friday on Sci-Fi, that's midnight Eastern time, was put together to announce G4's comeback and raise money for various charities. Also, WWE tag teamer Xavier Woods, you know him from the tag team The New Day, will be involved as an on-air talent. That's the first on-air talent announcement, by the way, for G4. We'll keep you posted on further developments, including when it will launch. Now some quickies. You may not have heard it, but here it is. No Thanksgiving night football on NBC tomorrow. The Pittsburgh Steelers-Baltimore Ravens game was now moved to Sunday afternoon due to coronavirus outbreak among Ravens players and employees. We don't know whether the game will be on NBC or CBS. You'll have to check your local listings for that, but it will be a Sunday afternoon game. Also, we should point out that we don't know what NBC will do to fill the time period tomorrow night. Stay tuned. More NBC developments. Former Glee co-star Amber Riley is working on Dream, a musical comedy series pilot as star as co-executive producer. Pilot, Team Mom pursues singing career. That's the plot. From reboot to reboot department, HBO Max is piloting a new version of the popular ABC sitcom Head of the Class, co-starring former One Day at a Time reboot co-star Isabella Gomez in the teacher role originally acted by Howard Hessman, later by Billy Connolly. Head was on ABC from 1986 to 1991, and I'm sure some TV stations or a TV channel is playing it somewhere in reruns. And finally, Stingray Music has launched a suite of ad-supported TV services via cable systems, Samsung and Vizio smart TV sets, and smart TV content aggregators Stir and DistroTV, whose chief executive was on this program yesterday. The commitments And the components of this channel package include services with classical music videos called Classica, D-Day Jazz, that's jazz music, Naturescape, that's music videos set to natural surroundings, and karaoke, you probably know what that's for. And that is News Notes for today. Our first subject is a PBS special that will start playing on a number of affiliates this Friday night. It's called All Is Calm, and it's based on an actual incident during World War I. Joining us live to talk about it, live from Côte d'Or, Idaho, is its executive producer, Laura Little. Laura, welcome. Happy Thanksgiving season to you.
Thank you. Same to you, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Let's start at the very beginning, as the song Do Re Mi likes to say. What was this incident that inspired this musical?
Well, Peter Rothstein, the writer of this, learned about this incident, and he decided to investigate it by going over to Europe and going to museums and battlefields and accumulating letters and diaries of some of the men that died, and wrote the musical based on that. He didn't know what form this was going to take, if it was going to be a straight play or a musical, a cappella. He just had no idea at that time. He was just in the research mode. And then it dawned on him that it really needed to be an a cappella piece. And he wanted it all to be done in the words of the men who lived it. So every word spoken was actually something written and documented by the men that spoke them and or wrote them. And he puts their names in there too, which is really quite fascinating. So you become, as an audience member, connected to this war in a different way than you would if you were just hearing these words said. By putting a name with it, it makes it real, and it's a very moving piece.
Now, this happened in 1914. Was this a truce that was the making of one side or the other, or did both sides come to the same conclusion, we got to do this?
Well, you know, originally what had happened was the Germans wanted to do it, and the Pope said no. And so it was really the Germans wanted to initiate it. And when the refusal happened on the Allied side, there was no more word of it. And then, you know, this happened on 400 miles of enemy line. So it happened differently in different sectors. But this show is a compilation of some of those stories. But in, you know, the most famous story is about the German boy who walked into no man's land and sang Silent Night, and both sides joined in, which was just, you know, the basis of this story. And these guys sang together constantly, even before this night. The songs would float from one side of the trenches to the other, and they almost gave little mini concerts for each other. So song is what really united them, which I believe is one of the reasons why they decided to make this a musical as opposed to a straight play.
And also why this is called All Is Calm. It's based on the line from the first verse of Silent Night, All Is Calm, All Is Bright.
That is correct.
How difficult was it to get the source material to make the musical? Because as you say, this is all based on actual dialogue, actual material that happened during World War One. So how difficult was it to be, if you wanted to make it, you know, all everything was based on historical fact, but also on exactly what people said, how difficult was it to pull it together?
Yeah, Peter met with different museums and historians over in Europe, and they guided him to some of the sources. But he you know, was able to spend quite a bit of time looking through various records and making copious notes, and then weeding through them in his decision on what stays in and how to move the story forth. But you know, he couldn't, it wasn't one of these shows that was written on the back of a napkin, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brought Eric Light into the fold, who is the musical director and arranger, and he, you know, had a lot to do with how that ended up being an a cappella show as well. And this was back in 2007 that they did this originally. So the show has been running in Minneapolis for a good deal of time. And as other theaters started hearing about it, Peter just started licensing it to theaters around the nation, which is how I stumbled upon it. A theater in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, was doing it maybe about 5 or 6 years ago and went and saw it and just fell in love with it and could not get it off my mind. As I would talk to different people, I was stunned by how many people had never heard the story before. They had no idea that this truce ever occurred. And that's when, you know, I realized somehow I need to be part of this and make sure that this story is out there for the world.
Yeah. And 13 years after it was put together in musical form, it is finally reaching national television through PBS this Friday night. The program is called All Is Calm, The Christmas Truce of 1914. And when you can see it on your local PBS station, depends on when it is running it. Many PBS stations will be running it this Friday night, some at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. Unfortunately, PBS did not give us in their press releases an actual premiere date. Or premiere time, I should say, as well as a premiere date. So some stations will play it Friday night, others will play it later on Friday, others will play it during the weekend, replay it as well within a week. And in December, the program will also be presented on PBS.org and on the PBS video app, and may go to, we hope, some of the other PBS channels available on smart TV sets and smart devices like Channel 13's All Arts here in the around the country in the greater New York area, the World Channel and others. We'll keep you posted on that. We're speaking with Laura Little. She's the executive producer of the televised version of All Is Calm. She joins us live from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Good to have you with us on this pre-Thanksgiving Day 2020. If you have a question or comment for Laura, give us a call, 646-652-2906. We use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up later this half hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. Give me another chance to check it out, and if you're first with the correct answer and you email it, you'll win the Crazy Stupid Love DVD featuring Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, and a cast of great thousands. Once you got involved, Laura, in putting this together for television, what was the big challenge?
Well, there's a little backstory that you probably would like to hear, and then we can chat about how the TV program came about, but we brought it off Broadway in 2018. And I was in Idaho. I sit on the board for public television here, and I was attending a sponsor event, and they brought in Pat Harrison from Corporation of Public Broadcasting, and she and I just happened to sit next to each other. So she asked what projects I was working on. I told her about All Is Calm going off Broadway. And she flew up and saw it, and I got a beautiful note, said, let's make this a film. And that's how it all transpired. So it was trying to figure out how and where to do this film. So these actors that we used in New York were mostly from Minneapolis, St. Paul. They performed for Theater La Ti Da. And we decided to go the route of using them and rehearsing the show in Minneapolis instead of rehearsing in New York when we did it on in New York. So we just used the guys from Minneapolis for this and filmed it there on this home stage that they're used to performing it on for, you know, years on end. And it ended up just being a beautiful filming. We filmed 4 different productions, some with an audience, some without, and then there were some days that they'd come back and do the close-up shots and whatnot. But the challenge was the music, trying to get it all together. When it's all a cappella, you have to come in just clean and clear. And that was a big part of the challenge that they encountered, but they pulled it off masterfully.
Clean and clear, I guess, means because there's no, like, you know, opening music that takes you into the song, you got your camera people have to be, your director has to be, like, ready to go, like, this, we've got to be right on this person or right on this group of people when they start singing.
Right, and that person needs to come in on pitch every single time because otherwise it throws the rest of the gentleman off. So
is it all a cappella song? Is it all a cappella song, or are there moments of dialogue that at least give you a stretch to sort of take a breath before you go to the next song?
Absolutely, moments of dialogue, beautiful dialogue. Again, that's where all the dialogue is true words said by these men or written by these men.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating.
Yeah. As you were taping these various performances, were there certain moments that stood out for you as well as, by the way, who directed the, let's give the director some credit for this.
Absolutely. Peter Rothstein, who wrote the piece, directed the stage production of it. W.J. Lazarus, who is also an executive director on this project, executive producer, was the film director of this project. And he's from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho as well. We had worked on projects here in film. So he was also an investor in the New York show. So it just seemed natural to bring him into the fold. And everybody worked together to make this happen in conjunction with WNET and Corporation of Public Broadcasting, who funded it for us.
Mm-hmm. What I was about to say was, whether as you were taping the or filming these performances, I want to get to why you did film as opposed to videotape in a second. But as the production was going on and your cameras are capturing the activity, were there certain moments for you that really stood out? Like, we have to get this particular rendition of this song or this dialogue or this scene in. It must go in no matter what.
Yeah, there is a scene that I think was pivotal for everybody involved. It's after the truce the next day, for the most part, when they go back to battle. And to capture that moment of them being angry and screaming at each other, but they're really singing over each other, a multitude of different songs layered on top of each other, and trying to capture that was probably something that was very on the forefront of all of our minds on how is that going to be pulled off. Do we pan and have the whole scene done, with one camera, or do you do a bunch of different close-ups? And they ended up doing a bunch of different close-ups, and it really is very, very effective. But that's such a poignant moment because now these people are friends and they're killing each other, and you have to have some people have anger and some people have despair on their face. And as I said, they're singing over each other a multitude of different songs, and it's fascinating how it all came together. But it was, to me, one of the biggest concerns on how they were going to pull it off.
You know, you wonder what would have happened if Robert Altman was alive to be a director for this, because of his penchant for overlapping dialogue, and also because he had, in his career in television, was one of the original directors of Combat, which is still the longest-running war drama on television. This might have been
natural
for him, you think?
Yes, it probably would have been, absolutely.
Go ahead, Laura, I'm sorry, I interrupted you there.
But that's okay, they pulled this off quite beautifully, though, so I'm really pleased with the outcome, and I think you will be too.
Yeah, and so a lot of people who will be tuning into PBS, the local PBS station, on Friday night or down the road this holiday season. We're talking with Laura Little. She's the executive producer of the new PBS musical special, All Is Calm, The Christmas Truce of 1914. That was filmed on location from the stage production in Minneapolis. And again, this will be starting on PBS this Friday night. Some stations may run it as early as 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Central, et cetera, et cetera. Others will play it later in the night. Others will play it over the weekend or later on in December. And once again, if you miss it the first time around for whatever the reason, you can catch it in mid-December on PBS.org and on the PBS video app, and maybe down the road on some of the special smart TV channels. that are run by public television stations like All Arts from WNT 13 or Crave or World Channel. We'll see and we'll keep you posted about that. And don't forget, when you check out your local PBS station, when it's running, remember, you got to check out the station and also the time, because some PBS stations will play it not just once or twice, depending on their schedule purposes. Laurel joins us live from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. I think she's our second guest from there. We had a guest from one of the stars of Strike Back, the former Cinemax series, was with us from that particular part of the nation. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, 54 degrees at the top of the hour on this pre-Thanksgiving day 2020. Thank you for joining us wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, also on Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network, and other podcast sites. If you have a question in our remaining minutes or a comment with Laura, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll be back on our regular schedule next Monday and Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And I can tell you that coming up on December 11th, we hope to have the showrunner of the new Fox series, The Masked Dancer. You might say the spinoff of The Masked Singer, which we, by the way, had on this program nearly 2 years ago. So be sure to join us. We hope to have James Breen, the showrunner of The Masked Dancer, on December 11th. That's Friday, December 11th, 2 weeks from today, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Laura, why was the decision to film this as opposed to videotape it?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think videotaping ever came up as an option. So when Corporation of Public Broadcasting approached us about, you know, making this a film, I don't remember that ever being part of the dialogue to videotape it as opposed to the film. You know, they needed a certain quality. They needed to, we were maybe looking at putting it on great performances that didn't pan out, but you needed to have it filmed a certain way. And this is something WJ could speak on much better than I can, because he's the, you know, the expert in that department, but it's certainly not something that was discussed at my level at all.
Yeah. Okay, I'm curious whether, if you go to film, whether it allow you to insert special effects, maybe more scenes of battle or pre-truce, things like that into the staging. You know, where the staging ends, you can add things with film that you couldn't add otherwise. What's been the reaction of veterans groups and other historical societies dealing with World War One? What have they had a chance to see the production? And if so, what do they think?
Well, not the film, but certainly the production. You know, when we did it out in New York, we had it running during Veterans Day, and oh my goodness, they were just moved to tears. And I know that it was performed up in Canada, and actually somebody was in the audience, that one of these people that were quoted was his grandfather or great grandfather, and he saw his name listed in the program, and it was just a beautiful moment for the actors to meet this gentleman. I've had people come and donate World War One uniforms because they didn't know what to do with them. A loved one wore it, you know, obviously many, many years ago, and they've been holding on to it, and they asked if we would display it for them. And they all love the message that this show delivers. The veterans groups have been very supportive in the arena that I've been involved with this show.
Yeah. So as we get ready for this special to premiere over the holiday weekend, what are you working on right now? Any TV special, any TV projects in the works for you?
Other than this, No. This is taking all of our attention right now. We're hoping that, not only does the TV viewership love it, that we really hope that other theaters will see this, and it will be a draw for them to want to produce this on their stage one day. You know, here it is, 10 men singing a cappella. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And if we can help deliver this story in such a tumultuous time for our nation, where, you know, with people just look at each other and have conversations and have drinks together. Maybe they can put their differences aside, and we know that message is so important right now. So we're just concentrating on and making sure people see this and making sure theaters are aware it's happening and it will be available to them in the future to produce.
Yeah. Well, does it whet your appetite at the very least because of what you did with this, whet your appetite for adapting another stage musical for television down the road?
Well, possibly. Yeah, at this point, I just can't say. To be frank with you, there's been, you know, I'm just tired, so it's hard to think about what's ahead. So I am in the process of making a semi-permanent move across country, and so my mind is occupied otherwise. But I can't imagine that some of the rest of the crew, I know certainly WJ and Peter and Eric probably have their eyes on some other projects that they work on that might be interesting. I am a co-producer of Come From Away, and there has been talk of that eventually being made into a film, but I don't have any updates on what's happening with that at this moment.
That was a terrific musical dealing with the aftermath of 9/11, and it was a Tony-nominated hit from a couple years ago, had a great run on Broadway, elsewhere around the country, and I'll tell you, I would love to see that become a TV special in some way.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. So we'll all keep our fingers crossed that happens in our future.
For now, in the near future, PBS is presenting All Is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914 original holiday musical special, and will premiere this Friday night on many PBS stations around the country, we think, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and so on and so forth. Remember, check your local station, check your local listening to the PBS station in your area and when they're running it. Some stations will run it on Friday night at that hour. Some will run it later in the night. Some will run it over the weekend. Some will run it later next week. And we can tell you that no matter where you're at, you can see the musical on PBS.org in mid-December, also on the PBS video app. And we hope down the road it will run on some of the smart TV services provided by public PBS and public television stations, such as All Arts, Crave, the World Channel, and so on and so forth, and we will keep you posted. More details about the program online, go to pbs.org. That's pbs.org. All Is Calm, premiering on many PBS stations this Friday night. Laura Little, the executive producer, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations to you and everybody involved in the making of this program for what you did. I think this program is going to be very, very special and a great addition, and maybe a great annual addition to the holiday season. We do need it now, and thank you and everybody for making it happen, and all the best to you and everyone involved for a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday weekend, holiday season.
You too, Simon. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, Laura. Take care. All the greatest. And great and best of luck with your move.
Thanks. Okay, take care. Bye now.
Laura Little, executive producer of All Is Calm, joining us live from Corte d'Alene, Idaho. Classic trivia question coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for another inspiring story involving the military, try this. Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. It's a wonderful book, now in audiobook form, and you can get it as a holiday gift for you or someone you love through a trial subscription, 1 month trial, in Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much so inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, etc. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that 1 month trial, great health and wellness material, too, and wonderful customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Remember, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, you get two audiobooks for your trial run, including one of those books could be from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That's original audio production, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, like All Is Calm, and regional productions, plus great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making this holiday weekend or this holiday season a great time for you or someone you love to give them the gift of Audible.com, great audio programming that will transform the way they hear the world. Once again, for that free trial run, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We've been offering the question for the last week and a half. This is the last time that we will offer it, by the way. in this run. So if you are first with the correct answer, you can win a DVD of Crazy Stupid Love, the sophisticated comedy with Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, La La Land fame, Julianne Moore, Marissa Tomei, Kevin Bacon. Great, great cast. Here's the question. Complete the title of this 1987 CBS made-for-TV movie starring Alan Arkin. Escape, blank, blank. Complete the title of this 1987 CBS award-winning made-for-TV movie starring Alan Arkin. Escape, blank, blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your address. If you first forget the answer, you win the prize. If you've already won before, do yourself a holiday favor. Let somebody else win and get their day in the sun. If we don't get a winner, by the way, by the end today, we will post it, the question, over the holiday weekend on Facebook and on Twitter. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWT. So let's see if we can get a winner by the time this holiday weekend ends, okay? Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. When we come back, you'll meet a producer who is partly responsible for a very long-running lifetime hit, Married at First Sight, and now she's expanding her frontier into science fiction writing. We'll talk about her new book, Retrograde, coming out in 2 weeks, and much, much more about her television world, too. Alicia Godmarsh joins us live from the Florida, Georgia border after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tuneinradio.com. Remember, all together, they reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR Speaker TuneIn Radio will give you great Thanksgiving programming all holiday weekend long. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is also your home for the Coronavirus News Channel. Stay in touch with what's going on in the pandemic throughout the holiday weekend and beyond. The Coronavirus News Channel, 24/7, TuneIn Radio at TuneIn.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow We Televise as we bring you our pre-Thanksgiving Day special for Thanksgiving week 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live again from New York City, where we're getting ready for what will be the virtual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, we hope, tomorrow morning. 9 o'clock is the start time on NBC. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Right now, the forecast for the live segments, not very good. Looks like we may get thunderstorms around the time the parade would have started, around 10 o'clock Eastern Time, would have made Herald Square. Again, we point out that some of the parade is going to be on tape. Some of it is being taped as we speak. Some will be live, and we'll see what happens. But it will go on one way or the other, thanks to the folks at NBC and Macy's. If you didn't hear our, by the way, news note earlier, the last half hour, the Thursday night football game tomorrow night between the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers, that's been postponed to Sunday afternoon because of a coronavirus situation involving Baltimore Ravens players and employees. And if you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. My next guest is one of the producers of the long-running Lifetime hit Married at First Sight. Right now it's taking a break because of Lifetime's Christmas movie season, which started this weekend. And in the meantime, she's got a couple of interesting projects she's working on, expanding her horizons, one of them being a novelist of science fiction. The book is called Retrograde, The Darkness. It comes out in 2 weeks. And joining us live on location from the Florida-Georgia border, where she's working on another project, pleasure welcome to this program, Alicia Godmarsh. Alicia, happy holiday season to you. Welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. It's so great to be here. So excited. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. What are you working on down there along the border?
I wish I could tell you. I really do. But I can't tell you. I'll probably tell you, you know, I can't say anything. But it's a really great, super heartfelt television show, and it's one of those things where I'm just so happy to be a part of it, and I'm just so excited. So as soon as I could tell you more, I'll probably send you an email and let you know what's going on as soon as I'm allowed. But it's going to be a great show.
Is it a series or a special, or a set of specials?
It's a series. It's a series. It's a brand new series.
All right.
Yeah.
You got us with the appetite for that, so that means a return visit for sure.
Thank you.
So talk about this new novel that you're writing, why you decided, sort of in this downtime of Married at First Sight, you decided to not just put it together, but finally release it.
Yeah, you know, it was so crazy. Like, I really, really had this, like, this story coming together in my head, you know. Bits and pieces here and there. And I was working on I was working on another project before Married at First Sight, and I'm like, you know what? I really need to get something together with these ideas, but I just didn't know how. And I happened to be at this this theater because I was working on the movie that hasn't been released yet, but it's called His Killer Fan, and really, really great. It's a Crazy Legs production project. It's fantastic. So I was working on that, and we were in this concert hall, and I have this friend of mine, and she's like my spiritual guru. She's so amazing. And we were at the time where we were having the Mercury retrograde phenomenon going on, and we were talking about it. Swear to you, I'm a big fan of Steven Spielberg now, because I have this friend of mine who he got me on to like really doing more research about Steven Spielberg and stuff. And so I listened to one of his talks, and he was talking about this thing called the whisper. And he was saying that, you know, a lot of us have ideas floating around, but what distinguishes, you know, a good idea from a great idea is when you take the time to like silence the psychic noise that you have going around, you know, the negativity and all this stuff, and you listen for the whisper. That's when you know you have something great. So I was speaking with my girlfriend, and all of a sudden, and I kid you not, I literally heard the whisper when we were talking about the Mercury retrograde phenomenon. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that was the missing key that I needed to be able to go and to write this book. So I went home that day and started writing it. And I had been working like 12 hours at least. And I got on my laptop and I started writing it. And then the craziest part is that like afterwards, after like that night and like many nights going forward, I started to like dream out how this idea, how this book was going to play out in film form. So the coronavirus actually helped a bit because, and I think it helped for a lot of creatives in the sense that because we had that shelter in place, we had an opportunity to really get introspective and kind of think, gather our thoughts together, work on things that we wouldn't normally have the opportunity to work on because everything was shut down. So that was the opportunity that I took. And then when I got back on, when I got onto NASS, you know, I was already ready to like, you know, get to the point where I could release it. But that's how it all kind of came together. And what inspired me to actually to write that book was that whisper, you know, occurrence that I had when I was speaking with my girlfriend. But writing the book itself, I found that I was inspired by a lot of my real life relationships. For example, I do have a stepdaughter, and the relationship that we have is very, very, very strong. You know, I love her to death. I'm married to a German corporate controller, and I am very much American. And it's so funny because my stepdaughter and I look nothing alike, and yet we have like this really great relationship, and I love her so much, and she's so sweet and kind. And so in the book, I found that I was creating characters that were somewhat similar to what I was experiencing. And the one character that's in the book, Aurora, she has an adopted daughter. And the adopted daughter, you know, looks nothing like her. And yet they have the most incredibly strong bond. And then I have another relationship in the book where it kind of is loosely based on the relationship that I have with my husband, you know, that whole dynamic. So I found that this time with coronavirus and all of these things were happening and stuff like that gave me a chance to kind of get all of my thoughts, my feelings, the story that had been swimming around, get it together, get it in a format that other viewers could read and take part of, and hopefully, you know, inspire some other people to finally take the time, sit down, and when you have an idea or something that really is unique to you, to do something about that, because in a way you could be helping other people. Like for this book, even if I help somebody that's reading it do nothing more than to escape maybe a difficult situation that they're dealing with or to give them hope, I mean, I feel like I've done a job well done, you know? And so I'm working hard on this because I feel as if this idea came from a higher source, and I just want to nurture it. I'm, you know, giving my all to it because that's what I feel I'm meant to do. So I'm just trying to put it out there in the universe, and I feel like I was given this opportunity from something higher than me. So that's kind of my story behind the book and why I'm also happy and delighted and grateful to release it to the world on December 8th. I really can't wait. It's exciting.
The book is called Retrograde, The Darkness, and it will be available, as you just heard, December 8th on Amazon at Amazon.com. Also, Barnes & Noble will be selling it as well. And tomorrow we're going to ask our guests whether it might become a television series or a movie or both. We'll see. Our guest is Alicia Godmash. She is one of the producers on the long-running Lifetime series Married at First Sight, which will go into its 12th season and possibly its 13th as well in 2021. She joins us live from the Florida-Georgia border, where she's working on a TV series project as we speak. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Simon will be live from New York, 54 degrees, top of the hour, up here in New Weber, York. Delighted you're with us on this pre-Thanksgiving Day 2020. If you have a question or comment for Alicia, make the call and then hear it. 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Alicia, let's ask it.
Yes.
Do you see, first of all, what is the plot all about? Give us the sort of the major plot line here.
Sure. Well, so we have this young woman named Isis, and she's growing up in a very, like, privileged situation. Her father, Ma'at, he is the leader, the president of their nation of Cairo. And so she lives in a beautiful home and all these things, has a beautiful mother, and it's just wonderful. But she doesn't take those things for granted. And she knows she was very young the last time the retrograde, which is this phenomenon that basically infects the area. It's almost like a disease that spreads out, an ancient evil that spreads out. And so she was very, very young when it came around, because it normally comes around every 10 years. It comes around and really, really wreaks havoc on society. So they have an elite military unit that is assigned to fight against the retrograde, because when the retrograde affects somebody, you know, basically they turn into the walking dead. They are, the technical term in the book is called a changeling. And what basically happens is that person, all that made them human is gone. Their soul is basically gone. And so they're just like this, almost like puppet, where the retrograde has taken over them, you know, even on a cellular level, and they're just using them as a mechanism to really destroy everything and anything. And so the military unit, they have to go out and they have to try their best to protect the rest of the people that are not infected, you know, and to keep the civilization going. So Isis decides that she's going to join. Well, her mother is very, very upset about this, because this is her only child. This is her baby, you know, and, you know, any parent can understand, you know, how difficult it would be to see your only child going out and putting himself in a dangerous situation. But she goes nevertheless. And as she joins the military unit, she finds that as this retrograde phenomena is growing stronger and closer to their planet, there's this other soldier that she meets. And he is enigmatic, you know, she's drawn to him. He's mysterious. And she doesn't know why, because before, you know, she wasn't really, you know, drawn to him. And so his name is Kofani. And Kofani finds himself also drawn to her, and they can't figure out like what the connection is. And Aurora seems to somehow understand the connection. So she's kind of like the key to what's happening between them. But Aurora is the kind of person, because she's like the first female warrior, the strongest warrior on that in that military unit. And she's a very, very spiritual person. And so she has a good idea as to what is happening, but she does not want to get too involved because she believes in allowing things to take their natural course. And so they are working with Aurora. They have this wonderful relationship between the two of each other, Kalfani and Isis. They develop this relationship, but they also develop a close relationship with Aurora and a few other soldiers, because it's something that, you know, it's such a difficult situation that they're all facing together. And Kalfani, he also has a best friend named Tikam, and Tikam helps him in so many wonderful ways as well. So you're seeing all of these dynamics between, you know, Aurora and her adopted daughter, Kalfani and Isis, Tikam and Kalfani, like all of these dynamics that you would see in your real life. And so even though this is taking place in a parallel universe in the future or whatever, still many people are able to find a relationship, a character, something that they identify with. And that has been the ongoing theme of the feedback that I've been receiving on the book, is the fact that, you know what, I really relate to these relationships. None of them are perfect, you know? Nobody's perfect in this book because none of us are perfect, right? So the relationships, you can see that they have their little flaws, but they work nonetheless. I mean, it's all something that is so beautiful, and I find that that kind of imitates what we have going on in our lives naturally. So that's kind of like what happens, and they just go through this. They fight, you know, they set out to fight the retrograde, and it's a scary thing.
Because you have all of these relatable dynamics at play, you think this might become a television series? I know you were thinking about it as a movie, but I'm wondering in the interim between when you made that statement and now, whether you now think, maybe, heck, with all the interest in science fiction series of all different kinds, from anthology to Game of Thrones to fantasy to superhero to anthology, that maybe this be a good TV property.
I totally agree with you, Simon. And the reason being is because I love duology so much, I figured, okay, well, I'll make this, you know, a duology. So, you know, readers know when they get the next book that's to come out that, oh, wow, this is like the thrilling conclusion to what happens or whatever. But these relationships are so deep. They can certainly, we can certainly dwell upon these relationships and really slowly see how this all unfolds in the form of a television series. I think that that would actually be wonderful, simply because there's so much to it. There's so much, and you could create a film. I know I was offered already, like an offer to do make this book into a film, but I really want to make sure that I go with the right company, if it's a film, the right production company. And, you know, if it's a television series, I think that it would also be great. And again, just making sure that it's really represented, you know, in the right way, because it's such a cool project. And it's such a great storyline that absolutely I feel that you could really develop this into something special. And like you said, Simon, because these relationships are so relatable, it's certainly that, you know, I feel that there's a niche for it, and I feel that there would be an audience in either scenario.
Producer Alicia Gosmash, I should say, is our guest this half hour on Smart Be Televised. She's a producer on the long-running Lifetime series Married at First Sight, which is taking a holiday season break, getting ready for season 12, which will happen next year, season 13 of Poppy 2. And she is the author of the upcoming novel Retrograde, The Darkness. It will be opening on December 8th and available through Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com and maybe other bookstores as well. And we also hope that at some point it will become a classic trivia question prize, and we'll work with Alicia's publicist to make that happen. Alicia joins us live on location, where she's working on a TV series project along the Florida-Georgia border this half hour on Smart Be Televised. Tommy, I'm with you live from New York. In our remaining minutes with Alicia, you have a question or comment, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up after we wrap up with Alicia, we've got some closing commentary on A Duke of Television, the return of a fantastic classic television series, Why I'm Thankful This Thanksgiving, in spite of what has happened in and out of TV so far this year. Alicia, Married at First Sight has had an incredible run. It started on FYI, then it became an A&E simulcast. Now it's life. It's been Lifetime now for quite a while. Why do you think the program has done what it's done?
I love Married at First Sight, and it's so great. Like, I was so excited when I was selected to come on board. I think Married at First Sight does so well and has been on, you know, for so long, because this is really like it's a wonderful show, because it's coming from such a good place, right? These folks really do care. Like, our team cares about these people. There's so much thought and consideration and love, and like, most of the folks, I would say all of the people that I work with, like, we all, who doesn't love love, right? Who doesn't love love? It's always so positive. It's always so, you know, it can be difficult sometimes, but to be a part of bringing two people together, that's like a very magical moment. And and that's what we have the privilege to do. We can bring together two people who don't know each other, and like, these people go on to like have beautiful marriages and children and lives together. I mean, that's something that it's such a privilege to be a part of that. And I feel that when viewers watch that, they feel that, and it's heartwarming, and it makes you happy. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. Like, you really feel as if you're living your life with them and through them. And then you also see how persons that maybe typically would not get together completely fit together. So it's an eye opener for a lot of people as well. I mean, it has been for me, you know, and I absolutely love the show. And I think that that shows, you know, you have a bunch of people working on the show that love the show. They love what it's about, and we love what we're doing, you know, and we love what the show represents. You know, it's just a really beautiful thing. And I feel like it's a pick me up. Like you were saying before, you know, we kind of like need something like this during these times. We need something, and Married at First Sight is a nice fix. If you just are feeling kind of like, oh, you know, I'm kind of worn out, I'm just tired, and then you watch Married at First Sight, it's like, oh my God, that was so sweet. That was, it just leaves you feeling good. You know, it's a feel good show. It's a good show, and it's a real show. I mean, these are real things that are happening. These are real couples, you know, real love. You know, it's beautiful. So I felt like, you know, when I got this opportunity, that it was just so incredible. Like, I was so excited. And then to see these couples, you know, get to know each other and figure each other out and make things work. Oh, I mean, it's a rush. It's a great show.
Mm-hmm. Right now you're working between two hotbeds of TV production activity, Atlanta and Florida, specifically Miami. How has it been going down in both places in terms of trying to get back on track with the pandemic? I know that, you know, thanks to Tyler Perry, thanks to other people in Georgia, things look like they're getting back on track now. And the same thing with Miami. I know Telemundo is working on their newest U.S. produced novella, which will come out early next year, a romantic comedy in Spanish. What's happening down there? How are things getting back on track?
Well, you know, Simon, it's like we're trying to adjust to this new normal, right? Because, you know, it used to be a thing where you thought nothing of having a couple hundred people together, you know, make a movie. Everybody's all over each other. Literally, you know, you might, you know, be crouched down and stand up, and you got like two people with their arms over you reaching out to get something. I mean, like, you can really literally be like all on top of one another. That's the way it used to be. And now, you know, we're having to think of every single solitary person we bring on. Like, is this role necessary? How many hats can we wear, you know, so that we don't have to bring as many people on? And then, like, you need basically like a COVID prevention army to help you. Like, COVID prevention on these projects is huge, you know. A lot of people are doing what Tyler Perry did and creating this production bubble, you know, because it's the smart thing to do. You have to protect yourself. You have to be vigilant. You have to, make sure that you don't spread this stuff, because I always think of it this way, you don't want to be the one to cause somebody's relative. Like, you may live through the coronavirus, mm-hmm. but you don't want to spread that to somebody's grandmother or something, or father or whatever, and then they pass away. Like, I would never get over that. So I think we all have the same mindset in the fact that, in the sense that we want to make sure that we are just as careful as possible. So we're slowly getting there. And I think it's also a change too, because we went from doing one test a week. Many of us do two or more tests now a week for coronavirus, because the numbers are so high. So, it's really something else. It's something else to juggle all of it. We're still doing it because we love what we do. So we're going to find a way to make it work. And I feel like the thing about our industry is all of us that have been in this industry for more than, a year, I find that I would say 99% of those people are just so passionate about what they do. You're going to find a way. And so we get tested. If we have to get tested every day, we get tested every day, two times a week. And it's a lot to juggle, and it's an additional expense, but we make it work because it has to be done. This is something that's, it's no joke. I mean, it's really out there. It's really affecting people. People are dying, and we want to be able to, do our work and make our projects, but we also want everybody to be safe. So we're getting there. We're getting there. And I feel maybe once the vaccine comes out, that'll be a solution for us, to kind of, stay safe. Maybe, once we get a method down of how to have the perfect production bubble, that'll also help us be staying safe But I find that those folks out there on the front line that are working with our film, I mean, they're to be commended, because they go out there and no matter where we are, it doesn't matter. They'll travel with us. They'll do whatever they need to do. And they make sure that we're safe, and they give us timely reminders, because it's also something you have the tendency to forget sometimes. This is brand new to us, wearing a mask everywhere. They're like drill sergeants at times. They're like, hey, put that mask back on, or if you're eating and you don't put it back on right away, they're going to tell you. So I appreciate them so much. I really do. But we're getting there. Yeah. It's going to take some time, but we're getting there.
The light is at the end of the tunnel. The therapeutics are coming. The vaccines are certainly coming. Hopefully
yeah.
by this time next year, whatever the next normal is, it will be happening. Alicia Got Matches,
yeah.
first time as a science fiction novelist, comes out on December 8th. It's called Retrograde, The Darkness. It'll be available at Amazon and Amazon.com for sale. Also, BarnesandNoble.com, other websites and bookstores also will be taking it up. And also, you should know, and by the way, if you want more details about how you can buy the book, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. We also hope to offer it down the road as a classic trivia question prize. So we'll be in touch with yeah. Alicia's publicist on that. And also, Married at First Sight, the 12th season of that popular Lifetime series will be happening at some point in 2021. More details about the series, MyLifetime.com. It's MyLifetime.com. Married at First Sight, going to season 12 and 13 in 2021. Alicia Gomash, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure all
thank
the way.
You.
A very happy oh. holiday season. Thanks for the weekend to you
thank
and your
you.
Family. And let's
thank
have you back
fun.
When you have that series ready to go and you got a network or a service attached.
Absolutely. Will do. Thank you so much, Simon. I appreciate you.
You're very welcome. You too, Alicia. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Happy holidays. Bye-bye now.
Alicia Godmash joining us live on location, where she's working on a TV series project along the Florida-Georgia border. Well, because we've had three, I think, outstanding Thanksgiving week episodes of our program, we thought we'd wrap it up with three closing comments. And I want to let our listeners know that we're going to go beyond our normal hour to make it all happen. The first two are short, one's a little longer. Let's go to the short ones first. One of the things I am always thankful for, and it's great to notice this holiday season, was the fact that I got into this world of covering television in part through my broadcast journalism work at American University as a student in the mid-1970s, and in particular, the internship I had on the McNeil Air Report. which later became the McNeil Air News Hour, now PBS News Hour. A lot of great things and elements went into the making of that groundbreaking program in the mid-1970s on public television. The hosts, Robert McNeil, Jim Lehrer, Charlene Hunter Gault, a great production team and editorial team led by executive producer Al Vecchione, and a marvelous bunch of producers and reporters and researchers who every night came up with the topics to discuss one per night in such a great way. But also behind the scenes, there was another talent at work to make the program happen, the director. His name is Duke Strzok. And Duke Strzok was not only a marvelous director on the McNeil Air Report, he was also one of the most versatile television directors of live programming in the history of the medium. He was the person that really set the tone for the NFL Today in the early 1970s, going from a mostly filmed or taped program into a live, up-to-the-minute look at what was going on before the opening whistle of pro football action on Sunday afternoons. And of course, it led to, ultimately, the famous team of Brett Musburger, Irv Cross, Phyllis George, Jimmy the Reek, and Elser, other Will McDonough, other contributors as well. In addition, Duke was at the director's chair for many of the top CBS sports events of the 1970s and 80s. Along the way, he won a batch of Emmy Awards for his work. And as I said, he also was versatile in talk shows. He was versatile in other kinds of programming, including live specials. And in fact, one of his last assignments, no assignment was beneath him, by the way, was doing a ballroom dance championship series for the Nostalgia Channel. And true to behold, Duke Strzok was a Duke at putting that together and making it look so great for television. And if it wasn't for him, there might not have been a Dancing with the Stars or Do You Think You Can Dance. That's the kind of trend-setting work that Duke and his camera crews always did. Duke Strzok passed away earlier this week in his mid-80s, and he leaves behind a sensational legacy of all the people that were beside him in the director's chair and have grown up enjoying his work and serving that, yes, when it comes to the Duke of Television, live TV, Duke Strzok was the Duke, and he will be, in my opinion, the one and only. We'll miss him very, very much. Condolences to his family, his many, many colleagues in the TV industry past and present. Yesterday, we did our Reboot This feature on trying to get back the anthology One Step Beyond, the John Newland-hosted look at psychic phenomena and the world of paranormal, a groundbreaker in its day from 1969 and 1961. Well, when we left the air yesterday, turns out another reboot is getting off the ground. As a reboot of a classic program that I grew up with every Sunday afternoon for many, many years, the General Electric College Bowl. It started on radio in the 1950s, then it went on CBS in 1958 as a Sunday afternoon iconic program hosted by the brilliant Alan Ludden. That was his claim to early fame before Password. And then when Ludden went to Password in the 1960s, Robert Earle took over as the host and did a great job when it moved from CBS to NBC, where it ran until 1970. It's been on ever since in specials and also in various radio programs, although it has been not happening on college campuses for more than a decade. Well, GE College Bowl is coming back next year on NBC in primetime for the very first time as a set of 10 episodes. And as always, it will be the Varsity Sport of the Mind, featuring talented college students, brainiacs, if you will, from college universities all over the country in round-robin competition for college scholarships. Personally, I am thrilled that GE College Bowl is coming back. I'm happy NBC is doing it. In case you don't know, Peyton Manning is going to be the host. I think this is a marvelous choice. Richard Reed, the son of Don Reed, the co-creator with John Moses of College Bowl, will be involved as an executive producer. And I have fingers crossed that this show will be a worthy successor to the original in every way. So I hope that we will cover GE College Bowl when it's ready to go on NBC. I hope it's done live from New York in prime time. I think it'd be fantastic. And General Electric, if you're out there listening, sponsor this show. Do it. Provide the scholarships. This would be a wonderful comeback deal for you. After all, you made it happen. Progress is your most important product, so it's time to bring that slogan back, and it's time to bring back in television in a big way with the GE College Bowl. We'll keep you posted, and we hope at some point when NBC schedules this to have one of the executive producers or showrunners on the program. It's a great, great, great idea. Congratulations, NBC. Congratulations, College Bowl people. We'll be happy to have you back on the air, and I'm thrilled to be prime time. And again, New York, do it live. Do it with GE sponsorship and with their providing the scholarships. It would be fantastic. And finally, what's there to be thankful for? this Thanksgiving weekend and going into this holiday season? I know for a lot of people, it's a tough question to answer because you've been confronted all year long by this pandemic and how it has upset life as you know it, and that even in this holiday weekend, life continues to be one upset after another in many places around the country with lockdowns, with local and state government leaders on a whim, not paying attention to the science, but paying attention to their own miscues, and who gets to be the brunt of it? We, the American public. I get that. And I get there's a lot of reasons not to be thankful. And try this on. There is a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. For example, I'm thankful that TV production is back in New York, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Atlanta, in Florida, where Alicia was, as we heard this past half hour, in Texas, in Canada, and elsewhere around the world. And it will get better as the vaccines and the therapeutics come into play. And they will come into play, it looks like, a lot faster than we even think right now. I'm thankful that we will have some sort of parade coverage tomorrow on NBC, with other parades, virtual or highlights on other networks and local stations around the country. And I'm thankful that we have the Plymouth Rock Parade that we talked about yesterday, currently, as we speak, part of the American Celebration going on Bistro TV and Plymouth Rock TV. It was a pleasure to have them on our two-hour extravaganza yesterday, which, by the way, has gotten off to a great replay start, thanks to all of you out there. I'm thankful that there is a lot of great television to watch, that we will have college and pro football, although not on tomorrow night, in the case of the Baltimore Ravens-Pittsburgh Steelers game, but it will be rescheduled for Sunday afternoon. I'm thankful also that we have a wide variety of shows to watch, that many networks are stepping up with original movies for this holiday season on Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries and Lifetime and BET and TV One and Up TV and Disney Channel and Freeform all over the place. So there'll be a lot of great entertainment that will kick in this holiday weekend and go throughout the month of December. And I'm thankful that we, despite this pandemic, we are seeing an incredible surge that we never expected of new talent, new entrepreneurs, many organizations and people of color that are getting their chance to contribute to this medium through new programming services available on smart TV sets and smart devices and multicast channels and the next generation TV project that is now being deployed by broadcast stations working in groups in various markets around the country. We've never seen anything like this since the early days of cable television. And because the barrier to distribution has really been taken down and the entry level is low to get national distribution off the bat as opposed to working with cable systems in one area to another, there's a great chance that many of these systems, that these services that are going on now will go on before the end of the year, into 2021 and beyond, will make it, whether they are subscription-based, advertised support, and so forth. And I'm also grateful that we have the era of mega programming services underway, and that's coming back into speed with original programming on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, CBS All Access, Disney Plus, BET Plus, Apple TV Plus, HBO Max, and Peacock. And with CBS All Access turning into a mega service, Paramount Plus, early next year. And I'm thankful that we have that to look forward to, with better times ahead, with better production environments ahead. And I'm also very thankful that 41 years in to covering television, I'm still here to cover it. I have a wonderful support group, my parents, my family, my many friends in and out of TV, the wonderful personal training people at Landmark Worldwide. And I'm very grateful to have, after 13 years plus of doing this program, you out there listening. We hear you. We appreciate you. And I'm always thankful for your listening, your feedback, and your reaction to our guests and our topics. So even with this pandemic hanging out there, And I'm clear it will end. We will lick this. I'm thankful that we can do something this Thanksgiving. We're not totally helpless. We're not totally victims. After all, we have Zoom. And even for a little while, we can communicate with others, if not face-to-face, if not over a table for dinner or lunch. And that's a great favor. That video chat has become a new way of communication. Through the smart set, through the computer, through the smartphone, with anyone we want. Yes, there is a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving. And let's not forget that. Ever. Again, I want to thank not just our guests today, but all of our guests over these last 3 days for being with us on this program. Your reaction has been absolutely fantastic. Again, if you came in late on today's program or you didn't hear our first two shows this past Monday and Tuesday and you want to catch up, remember, all of our episodes this week and all of our episodes all year will be available for you to binge over this holiday weekend. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And in a few moments, this episode will join our podcast available on Amazon Music, iHeartRadio on their various podcast networks, Spreaker Podcasts, TuneIn.com, iTunes, and Apple TV. And incidentally, for those of you out there, if they're the favorite podcast site that is not taking our program and you'd like them to, let me know. Let them know. Put an invite together. Be nice with them. Email them saying, hey, take this program about television I listen to regularly or I hear about. I'd like to hear it through you, whether it's Spotify, Wondery, Podcast One, et cetera, et cetera. The more the merrier. And let me know. And let me know who to speak with, by the way, at these various services, and we will. And we'll do that, okay? Okay. And remember, we'd love to hear from you anytime you like this weekend or beyond. Just email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question each week. That's how you get involved in our regular features, Reboot This, and A Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Or is there a classic TV show you think it's time to bring it back and bring it back better than ever in these contemporary times? So email me with the information, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And remember, if we use suggestion on the air in either feature, you, of course, will get the credit. The simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, you can always find me on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, we always love hearing from you, and we always respond within 24 hours. It's very simple why. Any time of the year. What you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial with one or two free audiobooks and much, much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. On behalf of everyone at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, our other podcast affiliates, and audible.com and its parent company, Amazon, thank you for your listening. Have the greatest Thanksgiving you can. And take time out some point this weekend to acknowledge the people in your life, who you are for them and they are for you. It's a great two-way communication, and it will last a lifetime and will be deeply appreciated. Make it happen. We'll be back on Monday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And by the way, check in with Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio for great holiday programming throughout this weekend. And one more thing. As a famous film producer and Broadway producer used to say, followed by a great television producer, there are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them. And thanks to you, it's a fantastic one. And we're very thankful for that. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. Happy Thanksgiving.